I love you and you are mine. What a powerful reminder that we have a God that loves us unconditionally, more than we can imagine, more than we can explain, more than we can begin to comprehend. We have a God that chooses us and likes us just as we are, a God that calls us mine. You are mine. As we continue in worship this morning, you might remember that we're in a season of summer snapshots. A snapshot is something that just captures a moment in time, helps us to remember a particular moment in our life. Last week, we talked about the snapshot of Sabbath. And I hope that some of you took hold of the opportunity to have some Sabbath in your life over this last week. This morning, we turn again to God's Word, seeking after a snapshot that calls us away from the worries of this world and reminds us that we belong to God. And God has everything under control. I invite you, if you wish, to join me in the Gospel of Matthew, the 6th chapter. I'll begin reading at verse 25. You can find Matthew chapter 6 is the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. And I invite you to hear now from God's Word. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink or your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you by worrying add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts and our minds be pleasing in your sight. You who are our rock and our redeemer, our strength and our salvation. Amen. It likely comes as no surprise to many of you that I have a hard time being still. I have a hard time relaxing. I have a hard time just sort of sitting back and taking things in. In fact, one of the hardest parts for me of a vacation is letting go. Is letting go and finding the space to simply relax, enjoy, and be present in that moment. I imagine that there are some of you who are like me in that regard. It is hard to let go. I've heard some folks say that they actually need an extended vacation in order to give themselves a couple of days to sort of get in vacation mode and then really enjoy the vacation. And then they need some extra time at the end of vacation to get over vacation. Friends, we as a society, as a culture, as a world, have a very difficult time letting go. We have a difficult time letting go because often our minds are cluttered and full of so many things that seem to be occupying our attention and our time. Often those are things that stack up and pile up on our desks, or they're found within the little things that we carry around and are constantly searching for in the middle of our calendars on our phones. And then we turn on the television or we open up the internet and we see all that's going on in our world, and we're overcome by so much stress, so much distress, so much suffering, and our minds begin to fill with worry, with worry. And then we hear the words of Jesus. The words of Jesus that say, "Do not worry. What's the matter with you people? Why are you worried? Am I not going to take care of you? How can any of you add 1 hour to your lifespan by worrying? What good is it doing," Jesus is saying, "for you to fill your mind with worries? It's doing you no good whatsoever." Jesus says, "I take care of the trees and the flowers and the grass and the birds. Will I not care more for you? You are mine," says the choir. "You are mine," says Jesus. "Will I not care more for you?" We all worry. We all worry, and we hear these words of Jesus and we think, "Do not worry? You've got to be kidding." Most days it feels like it's just one worry strung after another. We're worried at home about the child who's struggling in school. We're worried at work about the coworker that doesn't see eye to eye with us on a particular plan that's being made. We worry in the dark of the night about a friend who's been diagnosed with cancer. Do not worry? Jesus, you've got to be kidding me. And when we think about this world that we live in this increasingly anxious culture. We just turn on the evening news, and all the worries, both at home and abroad, seem to flood the television screen. Commercials are constantly inviting us to worry about one more thing, to think about one more thing that we need, or one more thing that we should be wanting after. And we worry. How in the world can Jesus possibly be saying to us, "Do not worry"? Here's some common things that people worry about. When you're younger, what am I going to do when I grow up? Will my grades really allow for me to get into that particular college or that particular program in order that I can get that job and be that successful person? Those of us who've already passed the days of college, we continue to on with this same worry. In whatever job that we're in, are we going to make enough to make ends meet? Or are we going to struggle month after month after month financially? We worry about our family. We worry about our wayward children. We worry about whether our children are doing what it is that we have trained and asked them to do. We worry about our spouses. We worry about our parents. We worry about other people. We worry about our safety. We worry when it's time to get on an airplane. Will we be safe up there in the air. We worry about terrorism, and we worry about attacks that threaten our security. We worry about health care. Will there be something that takes care of me in my hour of need? We worry about getting older and losing our independence. We worry about where we will spend the last days of our lives. We worry about dying. And friends, you and I know those symptoms that happen when we worry, because worry affects us emotionally, physically, and spiritually. We have sleepless nights when we are worrying. We lose our confidence and we avoid being out in public and being around people. We argue with others because our temper is so short fused, because we have so much contained in our head about the things that we are worrying and fretting over. We have a reduced appetite and issues with our intestinal systems. We have a lack of focus and often perform poorly at work and in the world around us. And there was a 2013 study that came out of a health research company in the UK that says this about worrying. We spend 14.31 hours per week worrying. That's 744 hours a year worrying. That's 45,243 hours of worry in a lifetime. That's 1,885 days of worry in a lifetime. Friends, that's 5.2 years of worry in a lifetime. We are an overly anxious, worried people. And we hear the words of Jesus that say to us, do not worry. How is it? How is it that we're going to take on the words of Jesus and free ourselves so we can let go of the things that weigh us down, so that we can live more fully into the knowledge that we are beloved, that we belong to God, that we are God's children? Three times in that scripture, Jesus says to us, do not worry. It doesn't take us long to hang around the Christian faith to realize that the number three has some sort of priority in our life. We worship a God that's a Trinitarian God, that's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three is a complete number. There is some perfection there in Jesus reminding us three times, do not worry. Do not worry. Do not worry. Jesus points us towards the beauty of creation and reminds us that those precious little birds of the air, that Jesus takes care of every moment of their lives. And so will Jesus not do more for us? And then Jesus talks about the glory and the magnificent lilies of the field, and how they're so beautiful in all creation, and how the grass grows and the lilies bloom, and they're here today and gone tomorrow, and yet Jesus cares for them. Will God not so much more care for us? Jesus points us to the beauty of creation. And sometimes I think that perhaps to begin to start letting go of the worries and freeing ourselves to find the space to just live in the moment, we too are invited to appreciate and enjoy the beauty of God's creation. Nothing does my heart more good than to sit on the sunroom at my parents' house up in Jackson County in Cullowhee, North Carolina, to sit out on their rocking chair on their sun porch and watch the valley below known as Western Carolina University be filled with fog. And the longer that you sit there, the fog rises from the valley and the beauty of the mountains surround you. It does my heart good to be in that space. Why? It's the beauty of God's creation. It does my heart good to sit on the side of the ocean and watch the waves go out and come back in. It does my heart good to hear the roar of the water as it goes out and in as the tide flows and moves. Why? It's the beauty and the majesty of God's creation. It does my heart good to put my feet in the cold river water of the rivers and creeks in western North Carolina, to touch that water and feel the coolness. Does my heart good. Why? Because it's taking in the beauty of God's creation. Jesus tells us that God cares for all of this world that God has created. And I think what Jesus is suggesting is that if you and I take the time to soak in the beauty that is around us, somehow the things that weigh us down and flood our minds just seem to go away as we soak in trees and flowers and grass, as we smell the outdoor air, as we feel the crispness of a cool morning and see the dew out on the grass, as we hear the birds chirping in the air and we see the tiny butterflies fluttering around us. You and I are invited to take in God's beauty, to sit and rest in God's amazing creation and allow our minds to let go. To let go. And then Jesus says to us that we are to seek first the kingdom of God. We are to seek first the kingdom of God. We miss the point of the scripture that I read this morning if we neglect the very first word that I started with. The very first word that I started with was from verse 25, and it says, therefore. Therefore then obviously points us backwards. And it points us backwards to a time in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus says to the people, you cannot serve two gods. You cannot serve two masters. Jesus says you cannot serve the one true God and another God. Therefore, says Jesus, because you cannot serve these two gods, you, my children, must seek first the kingdom of God. So perhaps getting rid of the worries that overwhelm us and literally weigh us down, and for many of us, end us with stress and anxiety that results in physical effects that put us into the hospital. Perhaps the way to let those things go is to seek first the kingdom of God. To no longer serve the God of materialism and the God of wealth. To no longer serve the God of power and the God of me and my and I. To no longer serve the God of self that wants more for me than what God wants. To let go of those other gods and to seek first the kingdom of God. And in seeking first the kingdom of God, the worries of this world seem to just fall away. Seek first the kingdom of God. Several years ago, I suggested to a friend who constantly seemed to be worrying about something that perhaps she could find a way to take those worries and write them on a piece of paper, and that in writing them on a piece of paper, she might find the way to let them go. And then I encouraged her that she find some sort of a cross or some sort of visual symbol that she could take and lay on top of those written down worries, so that every time she looked at them and every time that she realized the things that were worrying her started to occupy her attention, that she would see that cross and would remember, seek first the kingdom of God. Let go of the things that weigh you down and seek first after God's kingdom. Seek first after the message that says, you are beloved, you are mine, I have chosen you, I have called you my name. I know the number of hairs on your head. I know you're inside and you're out, and I love you just the same. Take hold of seeking first that God and allowing the worries of this world to be let go of. In 1988, Bobby McFerrin wrote a song called Don't Worry, Be Happy. It became the first a cappella song to reach the number one hit on the top 100 Billboard chart. But McFerrin stole the title of his song, or borrowed the title of his song, from a man named Mehar Baba, who was an Indian mystic who spent a lot of time studying the effects of worry on spirituality. And Behar was the one that first said, do not worry, be happy. Let go of your worries. Find God in your life and be happy. So friends, here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life, this one included, we have some trouble. But when you worry, you make it double. So friends, don't worry. Be happy. Seek first the kingdom of God. Don't worry. Be happy. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.